KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
We have mostly clear, sunny skies here at the KJN studios, and your temperature is 29 degrees. We look for sunny skies here this morning, becoming partly cloudy with a few showers late and a high around 64. That frost advisory continues here for the entire listening area until 8 a.m. here this morning. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in-state and local news. News is brought to you here this hour by Manning Regional Healthcare Center, your trusted experts close to home. A crash on Friday evening west of Orient in Adair County has claimed the life of a Guthrie County man. The Iowa State Patrol reports that 39-year-old Jeremy Lane Trichel of Menlo, who was not wearing a seatbelt, died at the scene. 40-year-old Elijah Daniel Davis of Orient was injured in the crash and transported to the hospital in Creston by Orient EMS. Authorities say a 2000 Ford Astro van driven by Elijah Davis was traveling east on Highway 25, east of Orange Avenue, at around 5:06 p.m. As Trichel was traveling westbound, driving a 1946 Ford F-100, the van crossed the center line of the highway and struck the pickup head-on. Both vehicles came to rest in the north ditch. Trichel was ejected from his vehicle. Davis, who was wearing a seatbelt, suffered serious injuries in the crash, which remains under investigation by the Iowa State Patrol. The Adair County Sheriff's Office and Orient EMS assisted at the scene. Well, more news in just a moment. News time 7:07.
Have you been putting off your routine health and wellness visits or elective procedures? At Manning Regional Healthcare Center, we are taking steps to gradually reopen. Well, child and routine health visits, as well as specialty clinic services, have resumed. Now is the time to make your appointments. Our goal is to have no wait times in the lobby and minimal patient-to-patient contact. Therefore, less appointments will be available initially. To ensure your health and safety during your upcoming visit, we ask that all who enter the facility wear a mask. Call 655-2072 to schedule an appointment.
In other news, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of a Red Oak man on Friday night following an incident in the 2300 block of 190th Street. Deputies arrested 38-year-old Robert Sorrell of Red Oak at approximately 6:15 p.m. for domestic abuse, assault, impeding airflow, and interference with official acts. Sorrell was taken to the Montgomery County Jail and held on no bond. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest of a Council Bluffs man following a traffic stop early on Saturday. At approximately 1:23 a.m. this morning, deputies executed a traffic stop on a 2013 Dodge Avenger for driving on the shoulder of 370th Avenue north of Farragut. Fremont County K-9 Roby was deployed, and a subsequent search uncovered marijuana concealed on the driver's person. The driver, 36-year-old Matthew Maggers of Council Bluffs, was arrested for possession of marijuana, third offense, driving under suspension, driving on the shoulder, and delivery of a controlled substance, methamphetamine, under 5 grams. Maggers was booked into the Fremont County Jail and held without bail pending an initial appearance with a Fremont County magistrate. An Iowa turkey plant that is the site of a coronavirus outbreak says that hundreds of employees will be furloughed this fall due to the nation's economic collapse. West Liberty Foods says that roughly one-third of its 994 employees could be temporarily laid off for months, likely from November through February. The company confirmed that 136 employees have tested positive for coronavirus after mass testing at the West Liberty plant last week. The company says restaurant closures have dramatically reduced demand for many of its products, resulting in a glut of supply. Vice President Mike Pence's Friday afternoon forum about the nation's food supply featured the CEOs of two of the nation's major meat packers. Allegations of price fixing in the industry from other panelists and the revelation that another packing plant worker has died of COVID-19. Smithfield CEO Ken Sullivan was near the end of the list of speakers.
I'd like to use the time I've got to thank our employees who are heroes.
Sullivan said he spent Friday morning visiting one of his company's plants, and just before the forum with the vice president started, he'd been notified one of Smithfield's employees had died.
Our employees have been showing up day after day in close quarters. They've been harvesting the animals. They've been keeping the food supply in this country, and they're doing it in a selfless way, and I think they deserve a lot of recognition for that. It's gut-wrenching for us as companies to have a choice between maintaining the food supply in this country and asking our employees to go into plants to do that.
Pence, who whispered an affirmation during Sullivan's remarks, led the crowd in applause after Sullivan stopped his.
These employees really deserve a lot of gratitude. That's all.
Ken, I'm sorry for your loss. I hope you convey our deepest sympathies to the family of that employee, but I appreciate the strength of emotion in your voice, and the American people are grateful. They're grateful for the people that have been coming to work every day at our meat processing plants throughout this epidemic. They've absolutely been essential.
Pence convened the event at Hy-Vee headquarters in West Des Moines by praising grocery stores, truckers, and meat packers. Pence said processors of beef, pork, and poultry industry had faced coronavirus challenges, but 14 previously closed plants were resuming operations.
How about a big round of applause for all these great meat processing plants that have stepped up and partnered with us to keep our food supply strong?
The panel on stage, along with a crowd of about 70 Hy-Vee employees, joined Pence to applaud. Tyson Fresh Meat CEO thanked Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, who was also on the panel.
And the safety of our team members are paramount to us. And without your involvement providing the tests supported by the federal government, the PPE that you've been able to provide has been paramount to us, enabling to get back to work.
At least 730 employees at Tyson's plant in Perry tested positive for COVID-19. Blackhawk County public health officials say more than 1,000 employees at Tyson's Waterloo plant tested positive for the virus. Both plants are back in operation. Both of Iowa's U.S. senators and a National Farm Bureau leader were part of Friday's panel, and all three raised the issue of price fixing in the beef industry. Senator Chuck Grassley bluntly said farmers want an explanation from meat packers.
How come we're losing hundreds of dollars on our cattle and the price of consumers are going up?
Zippy Duval, the American Farm Bureau CEO, said farmers are frustrated by the rock-bottom prices for live cattle and the sky-high wholesale prices for beef carcasses.
The farmers and ranchers are coming unhinged when they see that difference in that price, because they're facing losing their farms.
Right.
And it is a very difficult thing to explain.
President Trump this week said he's asked the Department of Justice to investigate allegations of market manipulation by Tyson, Smithfield, JBS, and Cargill. The four companies account for about 80% of the beef market. And Iowa processed its most coronavirus testing in a 24-hour period since the pandemic began, and the state allowed some businesses in its largest metropolitan areas to partially reopen. The state's coronavirus website reported Friday that 3,809 tests were conducted Thursday and that 403, or less than 11% of them, were positive. It was the lowest daily rate of positive tests in a month following a week of steady decline. Still, the state reported 12 more people had died from the virus, bringing the official death toll to 243. A slight increase of 417 people were hospitalized, including more than 100 fighting for their lives on ventilators. And as campgrounds begin opening up here this weekend to walk-in, first-come, first-served campers with self-contained restrooms, and visitors continue to take advantage of state parks, the DNR is encouraging everyone to check the DNR website for temporary closures before traveling to any of these areas. There may be some different closures due to maintenance projects or those parks not being ready for campers yet, so waiting a little bit longer than that date yesterday. DNR park staff will be closely monitoring parks and campground areas and remind visitors and campers to evade the physical distancing guidelines and other guidelines that were released earlier this week by the DNR. Check out more information at iowadnr.gov. The DNR's reservation system for reservable campgrounds did open up on Friday online as well. We can start making reservations for Monday, the 11th. Taking a look at world news headlines now here this hour, Russian President Vladimir Putin has marked Victory Day, the anniversary of the defeat of Nazi Germany in World War II, in a ceremony shorn of its usual military parade and pomp by the coronavirus pandemic. In neighboring Belarus, however, the ceremonies went ahead in full with tens of thousands of people in the sort of proximity that had almost been unseen in the world for months. Putin on Saturday laid flowers at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier just outside the Kremlin walls and gave a short address honoring the valor and suffering of the Soviet Army during the war. Victory Day is Russia's most important secular holiday. A UN Security Council meeting on the 75th anniversary of the end of the World War II in Europe saw a clash between Russia and some Europeans calling for unity to fight COVID-19 and warnings that the seeds of a new global conflict must be prevented from growing. Nearly 70 speakers, including more than 45 foreign ministers and the European Union's top diplomat, took part in the informal video meeting on lessons learned from the war. EU Foreign Policy Chief Joseph Borrell says COVID-19 is the biggest crisis since the end of World War II. Tens of thousands of people have turned out in the capital of Belarus despite sharply rising coronavirus infections to watch that military parade celebrating the defeat of Nazi Germany in World War II. Belarus has not imposed wide-ranging restrictions to halt the virus's spread. Some aged war veterans in the stands at the parade wore masks, but in general there were few masks to be seen in the throng of spectators. Belarus has recorded more than 21,000 cases of infection. And call it ventilator diplomacy, President Donald Trump, who's taken to calling the U.S. the king of ventilators, is making plans to ship 8,000 of the breathing machines to foreign countries by the end of July. That's a long way from the early days of the virus when U.S. medical workers were wondering if a shortage of ventilators would force them to decide which patients would get them. Now the U.S. has a surplus, and the president is sharing them with other countries, a goodwill gesture that also helps him offset criticism about his own early response to the pandemic. At your World News headlines, we'll take a look at the funeral announcements next. News time is 7:17.
Manning Regional Healthcare Center, your trusted experts close to home.
Hi, this is Lynn Block, CEO of Manning Regional Healthcare Center. During hospital week and throughout the entire year, we are very grateful for our dedicated healthcare team who are committed to the health of our patients and entire community. I want to thank you for your dedication to serving our community during these difficult times. We could not do it without you.
And in your funeral announcements, Judy D. Kiger, age 71, of Ottoman, died Sunday at her home. Funeral services for Judy D. Kiger will be held today at 10 a.m. at the Kessler Funeral Home in Ottoman. Wilbur Lynn Hubbard, age 100, of Council Bluffs and formerly of Walnut, died April 25th. Private family graveside services for Wilbur Hubbard will be held today at Layton Township Cemetery in Walnut. Polly Jones Funeral Home of Oka has the arrangements. Cyril Cy Butler, age 94, of Harlan, died Wednesday in Harlan. A graveside service for Cy Butler with social distancing will be held on Monday at 2 p.m. at the Harlan Cemetery. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Glee Mickelson, age 102, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Allen House in Atlantic. Graveside services for Glee Mickelson will be held on Monday at 2 p.m. at the Atlantic Cemetery. Social distancing guidelines will be followed. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. A celebration of life service will be held at a later date. Darlene Ione Hylison, age 90, of Harlan, died Wednesday at home. Private family graveside services for Darlene Hylison will be held Monday in the Harlan Cemetery. Polly Jones Funeral Home Harlan has the arrangements. Jeffrey L. Hansen, age 62, of Atlantic, died Monday at Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs. Private funeral services will be held for Jeffrey L. Hansen. Hockenberry Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Marvin Charles Darrington, age 97, of Griswold, died Wednesday at the Griswold Rehab and Health Center. Memorial services for Marvin Darrington will be held at a later date. Recon Dune Funeral Home in Griswold is assisting with arrangements. LaVon Larson, age 89, of Dunedin, Florida, formerly of Anita, died May 1st at her home. A private celebration of life for LaVon Larson will be held at a later date. Dorothy A. Wolf, age 80, of Exira, died Sunday at home. Private funeral service for Dorothy Wolf will be held at Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Ernest Henry Thompson, age 88, of rural Cumberland, died Sunday at his home near Cumberland. A public visitation with family and a funeral service for Ernest Henry Thompson will be held at a later date. And Bob Hazard, age 71, of Atlantic, died Friday at his home in Atlantic. Services for Bob Hazard are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a look at your latest in news and funeral announcements on KJN, brought to you this hour by Manning Regional Healthcare Center, your trusted experts close to home. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.